This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You are, of course, listening to Chris and Cam on Joy 94.9. We're live from the 30th anniversary celebration of the Keith Haring Melbourne Mural with thanks to Arts Victoria and proudly supported by the City of Yarra.
Now, I have interviewed lots of musical celebrities. I've interviewed some other important people, but I don't think I've ever actually thought that I would get the chance to interview a bona fide minister. So
Not the religious kind.
I'm actually a little bit nervous now. I have with us the Honourable Heidi Victoria, MP. She is the Minister of Arts.
Can I just point out that is a perfect name for a Victorian minister.
I know, it's amazing.
It makes the business card so easy.
She is the Minister of Arts and also of Women's Affairs. Welcome to Joy.
Well, thank you very much for having us here today.
And this is the first of two visits in 4 days because you're going to be on the Cabaret Room on Sunday.
I am. I just love cabaret. And so they've asked me to come on and I've been getting all of my songs loaded up onto my iPad, so I'm rocked and I'm ready.
Now, we've got some very important things to talk to you about as far as this mural goes, but as the Minister for Women's Affairs, I think it would be very remiss of me not to bring up to the fact that on Saturday it is International Women's Day.
It is.
So what has the Victorian government got planned for that day?
We've actually been doing things right throughout the year, so we don't make it about one day, but obviously I'm going to be flat out as minister, but I spoke at a breakfast this morning. I think I've got another one tomorrow. I've got a lunch tomorrow celebrating women in the CFA. We have something on almost every day of the year, so Saturday is just going to be the culmination of all of that and celebrating all of the wonderful programs that we've put in place about women's economic participation and making sure that women have lots of equal opportunity out there, not just against men, but also against other women. So making sure that those who don't find that they're empowered, they might be from a marginalised background or, you know, from an ethnic background that doesn't necessarily promote women within their community, making sure that they have opportunity all year round.
Fantastic, fantastic. So, as I say, it was very remiss of me not to ask you that question, but we have some huge things happening. You're about to go in and celebrate this 30th anniversary of this mural and the restoration officially. You're about to do all of that in an official capacity. But you are a photographer before you became a minister and a politician.
Yes.
So you have a true artistic bent, if you like.
Yep.
Tell us what the Keith Haring mural means to you.
Do you know, I think this is one of those really iconic... It's a noisy thing when you do an OB, isn't it? It's one of these really iconic pieces that I think we're so blessed that Melbourne was given this. You know, and when Haring came out here from New York, obviously this was just as his... You know, I suppose his success was about to come to its real heights. And he made this trip, obviously, he was invited to come to Melbourne. And one of the things he did while he was here was do one of these great size murals. And there's only about 30, 31 of these left in the world. And, of course, now you pay millions of dollars for a Banksy and things like that. And we were lucky that this was gifted to the City of Melbourne, so, you know, and the people of Melbourne. So to have this restored in the way that it's been done so sensitively, respecting his work, not over-painting, it's one of only a few that have been treated in this way. It costs more, but it's worthwhile because we preserve it for generations to come.
Now, the Victorian government obviously funded the restoration project.
We did.
And you met with Antonio, who did the work when he first came out to start that. Was that exciting for you?
Absolutely. And knowing that he and his son Filippo, especially, are master conservators and had worked on Haring murals before. So we were getting people who were conservators in their own right, but actually knew this man's work and knew his way of painting, knew his methodology, knew the materials that he worked with, I think was really important. And, I mean, as you say, we had, you know, Rava come out here. And the beautiful thing about him as a conservator is, I mean, he's gone from everything from Giotto, you know, and restoring great masterpieces of hundreds and hundreds of years ago to the most modern and contemporary of artworks. And he's just as sensitive and just as caring about the modern Keith Herrings as he is about a Giotto, you know, and that's really special.
And this is really, this is actually significant in other ways because, of course, the building that it's attached to is, it looks like it's going to be, it's still owned by the Victorian government, even though it's formerly a tech college. It's going to become another arts precinct for Victoria. It's got Circus Oz about to move in this week.
Absolutely.
And it looks like it's going to have more of those types of organisations.
Do you know, I am dying to get over to Circus Oz again. I went and had a look when it was still very dusty a few weeks ago, and it is just the most striking, stunning, beautiful building. Of course, it's been renovated to make sure that it is pretty well purpose-built on the inside. I think we spent about $15 million on this new home, but it is the centre of circus arts in Australia, and we need to be so proud of what it can do, not only for Circus Oz, but also for the community, because obviously there's lots of community programs, lots of empowerment programs, again, that take place on this site or take place with Circus Oz that now can take place in one dedicated building. Just revolutionary, I think. So the rest of the site, yes, you're right, it was an old tech college, and I'm not going to make any big announcements today, but I certainly think that this site has great potential, and I'm so excited at what it might one day become, and I've got some ideas and we're working through those at the moment.
Fantastic.
Fingers crossed.
Yes.
Yeah, and toes.
Look, enjoy the rest of this evening's celebrations, and you get to see the documentary for the first time, I imagine, as well. So
this is going to be amazing because this is a documentary that we made sure was part of the process of the restoration, so we could learn in future for next generations, if you like, who are going to have to look at this in 20, 40, 50 years time and keep up the restoration. They'll understand the process in its most most beautiful sense, and so the documentary was certainly a very big part of making sure that the restoration happened with heritage in mind, but also with the future in mind.
Fantastic. Heidi Victoria, Minister for the Arts and for Women's Affairs and Consumer Affairs as well, I believe.
Just chuck in another one,
Any extras, she'll take them.
Thank you very much for joining us here
My
today.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Enjoy the rest of the evening.
Thank you.
Now you're listening to Joy 94.9 live from the 30th anniversary celebration of the Keith Herring Melbourne mural, with thanks to Arts Victoria and proudly supported by the City of Yarra.
We are doing this broadcast here, and we have some very special ladies with us now. They are the Hotham Street ladies. Lyndall and Cass, welcome to Joy.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Now, you guys have done something pretty special, but I thought we might cover the background that is the catalyst for what you've done here today, and that is that the mural is actually, it's painted on the side of the wall here, and part of the wall is actually an access door in under the building, and that was part of the original mural. But then in 1990, I think when the original tech was about to close, the door was stolen and it was missing for a long, long time, thought to be lost. And then it was the thief heard how valuable, apparently the story goes, the thief heard how valuable the door actually was and returned it. And that's a pretty amazing story in itself.
That's right. I believe that it just was sent to Arts Victoria wrapped up in black plastic in a box. So that was an anonymous return after they tried to use a bit of social media to get the message out there that now that they were conserving the mural, that they'd really like the door back to finish the work. And the door has Keith Herring's signature on it. So to those who haven't seen it, the door has his signature and also one of his famous symbols called the Radiant Baby, which is this gorgeous little crawling baby that he would often script above his signature. But
now, tell us a little about Hotham Street Ladies. What does that actually mean?
We're a group of five women who make art, usually relating, well, always relating to food, very often street art ourselves, also very often made out of icing, and we lived in Hotham Street, Collingwood, so really just around the corner.
Yep.
So we're very glad to be in the hood.
So you would have experienced this mural is just part of your everyday landscape.
Absolutely, that definitely part of our urban landscape, which is something that we're really interested in, and we do quite a lot of street art ourselves, so the opportunity to make a cake dedicated to Keith Haring and the exciting restoration and 30 years since the work was made was a great honour for us.
Now, hang on. Did I hear that? You made a cake.
We did make a cake.
So you've made a cake in honour of the mural. How does that work? What have we done?
Well, the cake, I believe, will be a cut to celebrate the opening. So we've made a cake in the shape of the access door.
Right.
to describe it, but it's covered in icing. It has the same sort of delaminated paint, his signature, the baby, but it's set in an urban landscape. So it's on a board surrounded by icing asphalt, a few cigarette butts, a bottle cap, some weeds and a bit of grass.
So it's like just around here.
Well, yeah, we wanted to imagine where the door might have been. And because so much of our work is inspired by share households, we know things get sort of lost and stolen. And, you know, maybe somebody was a little bit tipsy one night and thought, I'm going to take that. And it, you know, we kind of imagined maybe it had sat in a share household, you know, with people not sure, you know, how important it was or, you know, thinking it was a rip-off or whatever. And that maybe it ended up in the back garden.
I'm actually thinking maybe I was at a party in Collingwood about 1995.
And you saw it.
Yeah. Someone's mantelpiece.
that is fantastic. Now, I have to ask, how many cakes did you destroy to get this cake made?
In what sense?
Well, in terms of practicing and getting the whole the image right.
Oh, we've got pretty good. We did it in one go.
Really? They're like Keith Haring. One go.
It was
and
one
it's
go.
Done.
But I tell you, after some of our recent works, which have been really large, it was really nice to return to the scale of a cake because, you know, it was quite manageable. We've recently iced two rooms, so.
Oh, my God. Now, I guess that I'm looking directly at the door now, and it's probably, what, about 70 centimetres by 70 centimetres. Is the cake life size?
It is approximately life size. We did have to work with some standard baking tins.
Right, of course. So, this is really a labour of love for you guys because this is very much about your hood. It's about the urban landscape, and it's about the fact that you do celebrate lots of street art anyway. So,
yeah, I mean, it was really fitting for us. We were very glad when Arts Victoria, asked us if we'd do it. They were very, we appreciated that they didn't assume that we were caterers because sometimes. We quite often get asked to do some pretty boring catering jobs, but this certainly wasn't up there amongst those. We were very happy to make a cake that could be eaten and shared, and was celebrating such a great event. Mm-hmm.
What else? If we want to check out some of your other work around town, where else? What else can we see, and where can we see it?
At the moment, we have an installation called At Home with the Hotham Street Ladies, which is on as part of Melbourne Now, and that's on in the foyer of the Ian Potter Gallery, and it's an iced share household.
That's over under the Arts Centre?
Fed Square.
Sorry. All right, yep.
That's right. And coming up, we've got some work at Bakehouse, so we'll be hopefully exhibiting something on their billboards. And you can also visit our website, hothamstreetladies.com.
Fantastic.
Now, all this ice stuff, am I allowed to pick from it?
Oh, the icing.
this cake is truly, definitely edible. The work that at the NGV has been sitting there for 4 months, and it was quite a big job, so some of it was made, you know, up to 3 months previously, and probably it would be best not to eat it.
Fair enough.
We don't recommend eating that one.
But I'm sure some small children have tried.
Fantastic. Linda Lancaster, thank you for joining us today, and please enjoy the celebration of this amazing piece of artwork, and I hope everybody gets down and has a look at some of the other work you've done as well.
That's right. Come in and have a piece.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thanks for having us.
Now you're listening to Joy 94.9. We are live from the 30th anniversary celebration of the Keith Haring Melbourne mural. It's at 35 Johnson Street in Collingwood, just up from the tote, with thanks to Arts Victoria and proudly supported by the City of Yarra.
Your community is our business. Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Chris and Cam on Joy 94.9. We are live from the 30th anniversary anniversary celebration of the Keith Haring Melbourne mural at 35 Johnson Street in Collingwood, with thanks to Arts Victoria and proudly supported by the City of Yarra.
Now, joining us now is actually one of our new Joysters once again. LDs, welcome to Joy.
Hi.
You're a guest this time round.
I know, it's a nice change.
We've been starting to hear you as a semi-regular presenter on daytimes and on a few other shows around the station. What have you been involved in so far?
I've been getting around a little bit. So I've been filling in the odd spot during the daytime. I've been doing a little bit of office admin. I helped out with Pride March. That was so fantastic. Got to meet some amazing people. I'm doing the outside broadcast with some of the other guys at La Trobe University coming up in a couple of weeks, which I'm really excited about.
It's the last Tuesday in March.
Our guest counts as youth.
Yes.
Only just.
That is actually one of the most fun broadcasts we do.
I'm really excited, and we have such a good team going. And we're all young and sprightly and full of energy. So
absolutely, you're gonna love it. I've been involved with it for 3 years. I was producer of it with the help of Sammy W last year. It is an amazing space, and you're going to have a ball. But tell us, how did you become involved in Joy?
So I listened to Joy forever, and then I saw the advertisement for the Taste of Radio course because I was like, I really want to get into it, you know, and it's not easy to get into other radio stations, but because we're a community radio station and we have the Taste of Radio course, it's just so handy. So I did the Taste of Radio course, and it's about 10 weeks, I think, and it's a couple of hours once a week, and I went and I met some amazing people, and they talk you through all the community radio standards and how to present shows and how to interview people and how to be sassy and amazing. So
you,
or maybe that's just a natural type.
Yeah, I think that's natural. what I'm really interested to know from you is, what was the thing that surprised you most that you didn't expect when you came onto this side of radio?
The diversity of people, I think. Joy is such a big, welcoming family. And my first class, I remember walking into the Joy offices where I've never been before, going, oh my God, this is my mecca. I'm so home. Because there's just so many different kinds of people, and nobody cares who you are or what you do. They're just so like, hi, welcome, join the family, you know? And I love that. It's so amazing. But I wasn't really expecting how fast-paced everything is. You know, you've got to be on the ball, and, you know, you've got to know what's coming up next. And doing the daytime broadcasting has been good for that, because it lets you get that into your head and have a bit of a go and getting to teach other people, which is nice and fun.
People think that playing tracks and talking in between tracks is easy, don't they?
No, it's so not. I'm getting better. I hope I'm getting better. But my first shift, I actually doubled with Dylan, one of the other presenters, and thank God he was there, because I crapped my pants. I was going, oh my God, Dylan, you want to and so thank God he was there to help me. But now it's great, and Taste of Radio set me up for all of that, so it was good.
And would you recommend it to anyone else who's in your position and maybe think they might like radio?
Definitely. Even if you don't want to come and work for Joy, and I hope you do, but even if you don't want to work for Joy, you just want to see what goes on behind the scenes, I would totally recommend it, because it's so much fun and you get to meet so many different kinds of people, so who wouldn't want to do that?
Fantastic. And we're going to continue to hear you on the Joy airwaves, of course.
Yes, you will. I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, I've said to a lot of people over many, many years that radio is addictive. Do you think you're addicted?
I'm totally hooked. It's amazing. I wouldn't be sitting here freezing my little fingers off if I didn't think it was fantastic.
Fantastic. Thanks for coming over here today, and thanks for being part of Joy, Elders.
Thanks for having me.
And, of course, we must thank the City of Yarra for funding the Taste of Radio course that ran just last year.
Absolutely.
As well. Now, of course, you're listening to Joy 94.9 live from the 30th anniversary celebration of the Keith Haring Melbourne mural, with thanks to Arts Victoria and proudly supported by the City of Yarra.
Australia's most amazing gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Joy 94.9 live from the 30th anniversary celebration of the Keith Haring Melbourne mural, with thanks to Arts Victoria and proudly supported by the lovely City of Yarra.
Joining us now is Levi. Levi is another one of the graduates of our Taste of Radio course that was actually funded by the City of Yarra. Welcome back to Joy, Levi.
Thank you.
Now, Levi, what did was the Taste of Radio course that you did, was that your first experience of Joy?
It was, actually. It was really fun.
And what made you decide that you might want to be interested in doing the course?
Well, one day I'd like to be you. Pretty much learn about, radio, talk on radio, and learn how to, the paneling and all those kind of skills, and also to meet people.
Fantastic. What is your background? Why does community radio interest you?
My background is in hospitality, so I pretty much like talking to people, and I've also wanted to kind of like get to know the gay community. Like, hey, hello. So yeah, I wanted to learn as much as I can, like, get to know the community, and also gain skills about radio, and then also want to kind of like donate my time, pretty much maybe volunteer one day if I've got more time and all that stuff. So yeah.
Fantastic. So coming out of the Tasty Radio, what was the key thing you think you learnt?
Just to have fun radio, and just to be yourself, and those kind of things, I guess. Like paneling and interviewing people, but need more work, but practice makes it perfect, as they say.
Fantastic. And what do you think you haven't yet volunteered to do a show or to work at Joy? What do you think you will do when you make that move?
I'm thinking of like maybe paneling or producing, kind of like organizing things and
like
stuff.
You like doing the back office stuff.
Yeah, the back office stuff. Yeah, and then I'll work my through, to do the interviewing, all that stuff. So
fantastic. Do you think that the course was worth it for you?
Definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
You'd recommend it to others?
Oh, 200%, 500%. I will. Yes.
Fantastic. Levi, thank you for dropping by and telling us your experience with the Taster Radio course, and of course thanks to the City of Yarra for allowing you to have that.
Thank you very much.
All right, that was Levi there. Now it is pretty much time for us to get out of here, because what we're going to do is in the last 15 minutes or so of the show, we're going to cross to an interview that I did earlier today with Beck Peniston Bird. Now, she's actually the director of the documentary that has documented the restoration project for the mural. She was fascinating to speak to earlier today, and that will keep you interested up till the 7 o'clock news tonight with Philip Jones.
Now, of course, we are back to normal next week in the studio on Tuesday and Thursday, but for today, I must say, big thanks, of course, to Josh the Yoshi. We've got to thank Marky Mark. We've got to thank Betty, SJ, Robbie Rockstar back in the studio, Philip for the news, Chris for doing all the work today. And, of course, thanks to you for tuning in and joining in today.
Callum in the studio as
well. Oh, him
well,
too.
Yeah,
oh,
he's pushing
Callum.
All the buttons at the other end.
Callum and his little fishes and stuff.
Yeah, that's...
No, crustaceans. They're crustaceans.
This has been very, very different for us, but I have had a ball. It's been amazing stuff. So
I feel very cultured.
Excellent.
I know.
It's back to normal next week.
It won't last, yeah, but I feel right. Very cultured now.
This has been Chris.
And I've been Cam.
And we'll catch you on the dance floor.
A diverse sound for a diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
With us now is the director of a little documentary that she has just made, I believe. Beck Peniston Bird is with us. It's all part of the celebration of Keith Haring and the revival of his amazing mural here in Collingwood. Beck, welcome to Joy.
Thank you. Very happy to be here.
You've got as a movie maker, you've got a movie in our Queer Film Festival coming up shortly.
I have. It's called Summer Suit. It's a little film. It's inspired by true events, the life of the screenwriter Francesca Sciacca, and it's about a little girl in the 80s who grew up in country Euroa, and her dad had the local petrol station, so she was a little bit of a tomboy, and she kind of over the course of a summer had a bit of an identity crisis, but it has a very happy ending.
So you have a strong association with the LGBTIQ community?
Well, I do. I think because they just often they're often the most interesting characters, really. And I think the thing that I'm most allergic to as a filmmaker is ordinary or normal.
It's a good thing to be.
Yeah, and in fact, on that very subject, I'm waiting for somebody to come to me with a fantastic gay marriage screenplay, because I just think it would be so fun to make a, you know, My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Gay style would be, I mean, probably there are millions already in development in Hollywood, but I just, you know, there's so many interesting issues around the community, and they are such a spiky, spunky, resilient community. You know, that's just where most of the great stories are.
So talking about what we're doing here today, you've made a documentary that sort of celebrates the whole story of Keith Haring and his murals around the world. How did you first hear about Keith?
Well, I guess I've known about Keith Haring for many years, because back as a uni student when I was doing fine art, he was one of the heroes.
Okay.
That was back in the 90s. So he died, I think, in 1990. So he'd kind of just hit icon status about the time I got to university. But in terms of the walls restoration, I heard about that only quite recently. In fact, I had missed most of the discussion and debate about what should be done with the wall. And the first I knew about it was really Arts Victoria getting in touch with Renegade Films, which is where I do a lot of work, and saying, look, the wall is being restored. We've got this fabulous restorer in town, Antonio Rava, and it's well underway, and we'd really like to document it. And when myself and Joe and Kenny Connor, who run Renegade, sat down with them and talked about the possibilities from a story point of view, we could see that there's a story in the restoration, and obviously some really beautiful imagery, but there's just also a terrific story going back to the beginning of the story of when Keith came here in 1984. And surprisingly, I mean, there's not a huge amount of documentation from that time. The sort of debate in the lead up to the restoration did unearth a little bit, but it was actually one of the most tricky things was tracking down some of the kids who'd been students, you know, in the school grounds and working with Haring on the day that he was at Collingwood Tech, and tracking down the teachers then.
So yeah. as a project, it sounds like you've probably had to work pretty fast.
I think in fact I've got a phone call one day saying, can you be down on site in an hour? And I was down there on site in an hour with my 1-year-old in a backpack and climbing up three stories of scaffolding to meet Antonio Rava and see what he was doing. So we sort of started shooting before we really knew what the story was going to be, and then sort of we followed through the restoration and then kind of backtracked and found some of the people who remembered the original event and started talking to them, and then as a development from that, I just kind of got a bee in my bonnet, really wanted to find out about there were a few missing pieces of the story, the most interesting one being that the door had obviously been stolen in the in 1990, as it turns out. In fact, funnily enough, I mean, the disappearance of the door was such a non-event at the time that there was no outrage, there was no media report, there were no police reports. So, I mean, we actually only have the thief's word as to when it got stolen. But we believe it was 1990, because one of the things I did was, with the help of some of the people I'd interviewed, managed to eventually track down the person who had stolen the door and then who had subsequently returned it. So we did an anonymous interview with him, which was really good fun. A little bit deep throat.
You had to do the whole pixelated screen and all that sort of stuff?
Well, we didn't go pixelation. We just went with an elegant silhouette.
Right.
He hails from the music industry and has close associations with the Tote. So we use the Tote as our setting.
Right.
Which is suitably
right next moody. Door. So.
Right next door. Hence the opportunity.
Fantastic. Now, the how long does the film run for at the moment?
At the moment, it's a what we call a TV half hour, which is about 23 minutes. However, we are hopeful of extending that into a longer form, because we certainly haven't used all the footage that we shot, all the interviews, and there are other angles to the story here and also internationally which are really interesting, because in terms of the restoration, Antonio Rava cut his teeth on Keith Haring in Pisa, working on Tutto Mondo, and that had a really interesting story around it, and that was where he honed some of the restoration methods that he's used here, and he's now off in Paris doing, I think, another Haring. So it would be really lovely to take a broader view. It would also be really nice to interview the Keith Haring Foundation in New York, because they're a really interesting group, and they've, you know, they've had a very big voice, understandably, in the different approaches taken over the last 30 years to caring for and restoring Keith's work. And then that approach has evolved, undoubtedly. And I think where we are today is a really happy place. I think Melbourne got really lucky in that we've just, you know, there has recently become a sort of a method and approach which seems to strike the balance between restoring the vibrancy of the work without compromising its long-term integrity.
Okay. Which for any artwork is obviously always the dilemma, isn't it?
It is, particularly with public artwork that's exposed to the elements.
Absolutely.
And to graffiti artists.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, so very special guests today get to see the film in its current form. Are we hanging on before it gets a bit more of a public release to see if we can extend it, or will there be a limited public release of this version?
The plan is that we'll see it on our screens, either big or small, later this year.
Right.
So hopefully that's either television or film festivals. So stay tuned. But there'll be more information about that available on the Arts Victoria website, and also we'll come back and make a bit more noise once we know where people can go and see it.
Fantastic. Is there it sounds like the whole process has been pretty special for you, but is there a particular moment during the making of the film so far that it really sticks for you?
To be honest, and this is probably speaking as a mother, was talking to the now men who were boys when they met Keith Haring. I think just it was so special to get that childhood perspective of somebody who, you know, they knew objectively was an international superstar, but to them was a guy who just wanted to hang out with them. He wasn't very interested, or in fact he was pretty reserved about the publicity and his public duties. And he, you know, Keith Haring really had a lot of time for young people. And so to speak to some of those young people was really quite heartwarming, really lovely.
Do you think going through this process, you have a personal sense of the man?
I do. I mean, it's risky with documentary making because on the one hand, you get exposed to so much information and so many perspectives. But on the other hand, you are always crafting a story, and it's very easy to get swept up into the story, the version that you decide to tell, which is only ever a subjective version. So I think there's the Keith Haring that is the story I'm telling, but then I like to think that I can still hold on to a sense of the Keith Haring, you know, that's less defined. But, you know, he seemed like a really beautiful, sensitive soul. There was a documentary made at the time that he came out, and we've used excerpts of that in our doco. It hasn't been widely seen. It's called Babies, Snakes and Barking Dogs, Keith Haring in Australia. It was commissioned by the Australian Centre for Contemporary Art, which hadn't opened its doors yet. They commissioned AFTERS, the National Film and Television School students, to actually make this documentary, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's also uncomfortable at times because the filmmakers were young, and they probably, my feeling is that they probably had some ideas that he was a little bit of a Hollywood wanker.
Oh, really?
And I think they were a little bit ready to kind of bring him down a few rungs.
Yeah.
I think they totally misread him. But it makes for some really fascinating documentary viewing because they do push his buttons a little bit. And as a viewer, it made me sometimes a little bit uncomfortable. At the same time, as a filmmaker, I could see it actually showed us a little bit more about him than a kind interviewer would have been.
Right, okay.
He was really gracious, I have to say. He really, you could see him biting his tongue. But he was also a little bit bewildered and perplexed by the take that some of the questions were taking. And I think he was also, he had a very mixed experience in Sydney, where he did a beautiful big mural inside the Art Gallery of New South Wales, which was then taken down really, really quickly. And I think he felt he wasn't really given the recognition.
Right, okay.
That the work deserved, yep, when he was up there. So, yeah, so that documentary is really fascinating. And I guess that's really shaped a lot also my impression of the man.
Fantastic.
Beautiful,
so,
gentle. Really a gentle soul. Very beautiful, gentle soul.
I think we get a sense of that. Why would you go around the world to do this in the first place, given his particular situation at the time?
That's true. Although, from what I understand, the invitation and the plan had been made before he was really so big.
Okay.
So John Buckley, who was the director of the yet-to-be-opened Centre of Contemporary Art, had discovered Keith. He discovered his work when he was in New York back earlier in the 80s, and then I think he'd bumped into him in Germany and again in London. And so I think by the time he came out, about 2 years had passed. And in those 2 years, he really had skyrocketed.
Right.
But of course, you know, he could then have decided, I can't be bothered.
Yes.
And, you know, didn't. Melbourne especially, when you look back at footage of Melbourne in 1984, it seems like that not that long ago, but it really looks quite hokey. Just to see shots of the front of the National Gallery of Victoria with these rickety old trams going by and very old-fashioned tram stops and footpaths. It's very sweet.
We've grown up a lot in 30 years.
I think we're a little bit more sophisticated than we were back then.
Beck Peniston Bird, thank you for your time this afternoon. Now, as we have said, you are the director of a documentary film that we will see one way or another later in the year, whether it's at film festivals or on TV. We've just got to keep our eye out on the Arts Victoria website for all the information. Thanks again, and I hope the initial screening tonight goes really well for you.
Thank you very much. Lovely to talk.
Thanks for your time.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.